Good morning, everyone, and thank you for coming to the early morning session on the last day of APHA, which I know is no small feat. So we're here to talk about the impact evaluation of the Neighborhoods Working in Partnership Project, which is a policy advocacy capacity building training for residents of Detroit. And we're going to particularly highlight the challenges and facilitating factors of community organizing for policy change. I'd like to take a moment to acknowledge my co-authors, one of whom, Dr. Chris Coombe, is in the audience, as well as our community and academic trainers and the participants in the Neighborhoods Working in Partnership Project, as well as the participants in the impact evaluation. Can I just click or? Okay. Neither Sona nor myself have any relationships to disclose. So as background, we know that policy change is increasingly being called on as a strategy for reducing health disparities. We also know that the engagement of community members in policy advocacy can enhance the relevance of policy to the realities of communities. And finally, we know that specific skills are needed for policy advocacy activities to be effective. So the gap in the literature that this presentation seeks to fill is that while there are models and curricula for best policy advocacy practices, there is a dearth in the literature of the impact of training on the actual policy advocacy activities of community residents. So first, let me describe for you a little bit about the Neighborhoods Working in Partnership Project. This is a project under the Detroit Community Academic Urban Research Center, and it was done in collaboration with the Good Neighborhoods Initiative, which is part of the Skillman Foundation, which also funded the Neighborhoods Working in Partnership Project. We used a CBPR approach where community leaders and academic partners were trained by PolicyLink, which is a policy advocacy training center. And then the community leaders and academic partners worked as a team to develop and implement the policy advocacy training. The training was structured so that there were four sessions that took place mostly Saturdays throughout the summer. The first three sessions were in specific neighborhoods, and then the last session was citywide, and that session was actually later on in October. A total of 228 community residents participated in the training, including adults and youth, and the participants were recruited through the Good Neighborhoods Initiative as well as local community-based organizations. So the workshop included skill-building sessions which used the experiential learning approach, and they covered several topics, including what's the difference between policy and program activities, power mapping, which helps you identify the particular person that you want to advocate to, strategies for effective policy change, how to design your policy advocacy campaign, how to communicate your message, and preparing to talk to policymakers. Using an experiential learning approach, we used group activities in the trainings, and this gave participants the opportunity to practice the skills that they were being used using examples that were relevant to their neighborhoods. After the third session of the training, technical assistance was provided to all participants in the training, or was offered to everybody. So for the evaluation design, again, we used a CBPR approach, and so the community and academic trainers were all involved in the decisions that we made around the evaluation design. There were three stages to the evaluation. The process evaluation included looking at attendance, participant satisfaction, what they found most useful, and what they found least useful. The outcome evaluation looked at knowledge and attitude and behavior change immediately following the workshops, and there's a paper in the present edition of American Journal of Public Health that you could refer to for more information on that. But for this presentation, we're going to focus on the impact evaluation, which was designed to determine how, if at all, the participants in the Neighborhood Working in Partnership Project actually used the information and skills that they learned during the workshop. So the impact evaluation included sort of two components. The first was focus group interviews, and the second was one-on-one interviews. For the focus group interviews, we used purposeful sampling technique where we identified participants who had attended at least two sessions of the workshop and were identified as being active in policy advocacy activities. We had five focus groups. There were three with adult participants and two with youth. The focus groups were conducted by trained graduate students, and they took place about 8 to 11 months after the training. We provided dinner to the participants beforehand so they weren't hungry, and then we gave them gift cards as a thank you. Each focus group lasted between 50 minutes and an hour and a half, and they took place in the local neighborhoods except for one adult focus group where we combined two neighborhoods together because of numbers. The focus groups followed an interview script, which included the primary questions as well as follow-up probes. So we asked questions about what were the different policy advocacy activities that people were involved in, what were their experience working with others, how they used what they learned in the training, how they used the materials that were provided in the training, what was helpful in their policy advocacy activities, what challenges they faced while advocating for policy change, what additional training or support was needed, and what their future policy advocacy plans were. So for the analysis, the focus groups were audio recorded and transcribed, and when we looked at the focus group interviews, we felt that we did not really capture the richness of the activities that the youth had done, so we actually did two follow-up one-on-one interviews with young participants. And so while the focus groups were audio recorded and transcribed, we took detailed notes during the interviews. So the transcripts and the notes were analyzed using in vivo coding, which is where you take the transcripts and you break it into chunks that are conceptually distinct. And each chunk you provide a name or a code, and we use the language of the participants for those codes. We then looked at the codes from one transcript, which we felt was from a particularly rich focus group, and we developed a list of themes based on grouping those codes. This list of themes was then used for the analysis of the later focus groups and the interviews. And any additional codes or themes that we needed to add were added. Two additional academic partners reviewed the coding, and if there were any disagreements in the coding, we discussed it until consensus was reached. So I'm going to turn it over to Sonia, who's going to provide the results of the focus groups.
Thank you, Becca. Did I go the right way? There we go. Thank you. Now, we were happy to find that the trainings were really having an impact on the people who actually attended them. The people were working on various policy issues, and we found that there were many common themes that were arising that affected people across the city. For example, abandoned houses. For the residents, this was a huge safety issue, and they stated that this presented many opportunities for people to get hurt. In addition to that, there were people also working on issues regarding home foreclosures. Folks were advocating for programs that were for people that were actually still in their homes. They stated that there were programs for people that were already foreclosed upon and programs for new developments. However, there weren't a whole lot of programs for existing homeowners, so they wanted to see a lot more support for existing homeowners. Other people were working on things like immigration reform, as well as school closings, issues related to employment, as well as this new proposed bridge to Canada that I'll talk about a little bit more later. Some of the policy activities that were reported in the trainings were, it really led more folks to get more involved, and they really started to organize a lot more. And much of this was in conjunction with the Skillman Good Neighborhoods initiative that Becca mentioned earlier. Additionally, a variety of other people were focusing on policy activities, like writing letters to policymakers, sending emails to policymakers, both at the state as well as at the national levels. People also reported that they were actually starting to attend public hearings. For example, 500 people on residents organized around this protest to this bridge to Canada in the city of Detroit. Now, there were a number of policy successes that were reported. People were working much more closely together on specific issues that were affecting their quality of life in their communities. One participant actually described that there's a belief that Detroit is not united, but community members were coming together as a cohesive group and proving this belief wrong. And this that the community members saw as a huge success. Another group talked about how they talked with a policymaker and how about this police station that was closed in their particular community, and how later the policymaker reported back that this police station had now been reopened, so they saw that as an additional success. Folks that had been working on issues around abandoned homes, they had seen new homes, some of the homes being torn down, and others were scheduled to be torn down. Youth had mobilized around a principal being fired at their particular school, and they demanded that this principal actually remain, and what happened was that the principal actually was instead given a promotion, so that was a huge success. People also reported about feeling empowered. They felt very empowered. They now felt like they had a voice to speak up about things that they hadn't normally done before, as well as speak out at public hearings, and I think that is mentioned here in this quote, so I'll read that to you. All things that I've been doing since the advocacy class, and my list is still growing. And I just realized I'm getting emails from President Obama, and I emailed Governor Granholm and Senator Debbie Stabenow, and they really have responded, you know? And I felt empowered by having some of that knowledge from my training. So I think this really speaks to, you know, how people were how people left the training feeling like they could do something about their plight. Some of the challenges, of course, we all know this doesn't go without challenges, the work that we do. Some of the challenges that the participant actually reported were they felt like it was very labor intensive to get people involved because oftentimes it required them to go door to door. And basically in going door to door, you have to really start to convince people that they have a stake in this. So they felt like that was really, really challenging. They also talked about how balancing all the different viewpoints that came to the table. So because the more people that you got engaged in the process, the larger the group got, and the more viewpoints you had to balance at the table. And I'm going to describe this in one of the quotes one of the participants made. And we come in to organize, and all the community members, they got a way they think it ought to be. So we have 40 or 50 different ideas. And it takes a while for them to kind of unite on something. So it just sounds as if, you know, all these people were coming together at various different times, and people, every person wants to have an input. But folks seemed as if they were able to try to, you know, unite at a certain point. Other challenges included. It was difficult to address the policy issue. They were working on an issue, but they were working on different things in their community, but it was difficult to come up with a policy solution for those issues. Because these issues often felt so large, so it was difficult to tackle one single thing. There was so much going on in their communities. Participants talked about having feeling like they had limited political power and that they felt often that they might not be listened to by the policymakers because they were often cut off from the resources. The resources were often given to people outside of the communities as opposed to people directly within the communities. Some facilitating factors that folks reported in really making policy advocacy easier for them was having strong leadership that had experience, having people at the table that they described to help them to continue to be involved. They had outreach going on through constant emails, and this for them felt like a very strong support system. Additionally, leadership programs. There was a lot of leadership programs that were going on in the Good Neighborhood initiatives, and people saw this as being extremely helpful because it really helped them to focus more on the issue. It helped them to strengthen the community organizing structure that they already had in place, as well as building the capacity of the actual members in the community. Some other facilitating factors, including building relationships with policymakers, as well as just this whole feeling around being part of a larger group. They stated that the bigger the group, the stronger you are. And this is quoted in one of the quotes from one of the participants. But even just showing up, because when you show up, you're going to talk to somebody about it. So the word spreads. So you might think it's not being a lot being done, but sometimes you never know. You plant the seed grows, and the next thing you know, you see people come. Different faces show up at meetings. Well, somebody told me about it. Now, some other facilitating factors they talked about were the training resource binder that was provided. We provided a training resource binder that included contact information for policymakers, as well as different materials that they could potentially use as they were conducting their policy advocacy work. And they stated that they continued to keep this in their home or in their office, and they often refer back to it. So this was extremely helpful for folks. In addition to that, they talked about a little bit about technology and how receiving emails was helpful to help to keep them engaged. With regard to the technology piece, the students that advocated for the school principal to remain at the school, they actually utilized text messaging as well as social media. So the students were really, really engaged in the social media, in the technology piece. Additionally, folks talked about having a history of working together, and it was described as having these existing relationships in the community, and it made it much more fun to work with folks. One of the youth said this, "I think it's a lot of fun working together with each other in the group. Sometimes, well, I know for us, because everything that we do, it's always us, and we're always together. So we're used to each other, so we sort of vibe off each other." So this really speaks to people building these relationships and these strong relationships in the community and the value of that to folks. Lessons learned. Now, based on the information that we gave from the focus groups, We left the groups feeling very, that they were very valuable lessons learned for us, as well as a lot of implications for practice. The, that training resource finder, again, it was extremely helpful for folks. People were using it, so that was great, a great resource for people to be able to refer back to. In addition to that, we saw that we needed to focus more on distinguishing the difference between a policy and a program. A lot of people continue to struggle with that, and we needed to work more on making sure that folks understood which was which. Additionally, people expressed an interest that they continue to be challenged by identifying a policy solution. Most folks are very familiar with working on programs, as you know, but always trying to come up with a policy solution can be extremely challenging, and it proves extremely challenging for the people in the focus groups. Leadership development and community organizing was seen as extremely useful for people. Some limitations to our particular focus groups were that, again, it was difficult for even us to differentiate when people were talking about policy advocacy and programmatic activities. It was difficult for us to distinguish whether or not they were actually talking about programs or whether they were talking about policy advocacy, because it often seemed to blend together. Most of our focus group participants were actually people that were already participating in advocacy, so we didn't really know why other folks were not actually engaged in advocacy, so that was another limitation for us. With regard to the viewpoints that were at the table, a lot of the successes that we saw, because there was so much already going on in the community, we can't always attribute that the successes were attributed to our trainings at per se, but because there were so many other things that were going on in the community. So that was another limitation for our groups. And here's a final quote from one of our participants. "And what it takes is a group of people that's got power, and that's the people. And that's when they stand together as a whole group." Thank you.